Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens from around the world. You're listening once again to Mick Williams Summerland coming at you on the Internet Coast to Coast Podcast.
Yeah, fooled you, didn't I?
That's right. Once again, the WBC in conjunction with the WBC and empowered by the almighty AMD brings you our broadcast around the world and coast to coast via the internet and politics and listening to the world's first politic tech talk show for Generation E. So, for my peeps down in the record building thousands of miles below the Earth's crust, this is show for 14 January 2023 and recorded as record number 23-02-2. So anyway, there we go for that. Wow. There's so much stuff going on in the grand scheme of things. And we were talking last week about next-gen TV. And it's been a big old huge booth down at CES this past week. And they're just really going nuts with it. Just talking about how great it is and how good it's going to be and... Oh, there's an allegory I normally make for that kind of thing. I can't say it on the air, so anyway, I'll be in trouble. Because, you know, the WBC owner, he'll come after me, and I don't know, maybe he'll smack me with his bag or something. But anyway, so here's the deal. Next Gen is really starting to rock and roll. So we talked last week about this whole business of the possibility of scrambling. And I went back and I looked at some things, which you can find this stuff on Wikipedia and all. But there was a thing in the 80s, cable, satellite, when you went, well, C-band satellite, if you could, you know, pluck down $2,000 for your C and KU. The little dish, DBS, wasn't even, you know, it was still on the drawing board. And then they had this deal with cable. Cable wasn't everywhere, believe it or not. Yeah. They had to get permits, had to fight city councils. Well, if you have the Playboy channel, we won't let you in our town. Okay, we dropped the Playboy channel. Yay, come on into my town. And my town that I lived in at the time, I think took 5 years, 6 years, because they had to go and string cable up through every neighborhood, every street. Had these huge, look like thread, you know, you get your thread with those, okay, I don't even know the name. It's like when you're sewing, you got your sewing thread on those big old wooden things, you know, come small things. Not a bobbin, because I think that's the little thing that's metal. But this is, you know, a lot of them are wood, and you have it on there. Now imagine that thing freakishly huge by 1,500 times, and it's got cabling on it, and it's sitting outside your window in your junior high school, and you're watching these guys string this stuff up. And we got it on just in time to see the debut of MTV. That's how close we cut it. But not everybody had cable, and they were still getting antennas. And even with antennas, they had what they had CATV in some places where they had a tower was way up in the air with a antenna on it that would point off, and it would feel like an apartment or a mobile home complex or whatever. And that's how you got your TV. And generally, you didn't even have to pay extra for it because, you know, it's doing it on its own. So be able to do that. So now they had these decoders. And there was View TV, Preview, and On TV. And Golden West Broadcasting was the company that started this. And we had that in competing with our cable. So we had 21, 27, 33. and they all came on at the same time. They weren't even on that long. And their sole purpose in life was to have this at night scrambled, and then they would have the regular stuff done. You know, Independent, Lone Ranger, all that stuff like everybody had. So On TV was on 21, Preview was on 27, and View was on 33. View and Preview merged. And then over time, everybody got cable. Didn't need it. Cost about $20 a month for the programming. And you had a decoder box, and you had to pay $50 for them to come in, install, and put an antenna on the top of your roof and point it a certain direction and everything. And for what it was great. But now it's not so great because you got satellite, or you got cable and CKU. And so it kind of died on the vine. So here we are with Next Gen. So Next Gen TVs are starting to come out. They claim 4K UHD, and they have tuners, but they're also having to pick up the ATSC 1.0 that we all use and love now since 2009. And there's no 4K programming. You're still watching the same stuff off of 1.0. Nobody has got anything invested in 4K. So there's one TV I saw. It was a Hisense, I think it was. And they're claiming that they're going to put out a 3.0, I think under 1,000, somewhere between 600 and 1,000, where most of them are putting the tuners in their higher dollar, bigger screen models like Samsung and LG and all of them. And then the question is, well, what's out there? Most places, there's maybe one station and they're broadcasting the same thing that you can watch in 1.0. Well, I went through and I looked at some stuff. And as we mentioned before last week, Massachusetts, CBS, and NBC affiliates were starting to bring stuff on. And most of these guys were smaller, independent things. They used them as test beds. And so now the networks are getting involved. So if you want to know what you've got around you for NG, by the way, there's three things now. Old television is known as TV. What you have now is digital television, which is DT, because you'll see the call signs used to be dash TV, now it's dash DT, and now you will see a dash NG for next generation. And you'll be able to get those. Here, we found out there are four. And how do you find out? We can go to this site called antennaweb.org, and you've heard us talk about it before. Basically, this is the site that you use, put in your zip code, your address, whatever, and it'll show you all the channels around you, what you should be able to get. And then the lines are color-coded. And there's colors on the boxes of the antennas. So you pick the colors that it shows the best signal, and then you find the antenna with that color in your area, and then you get the antenna that matches up for you. And they're showing now the next gen channels along with the regular channels. So right now we have four channels in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're running next gen. But even with, say you just wanted to do it old school, you can go out and get a 3.0 box that you hook on your TV, just like we did with cable or the HDTV decoder boxes back in the day to get on the regular TVs. But again, same stuff you're watching. And most of these boxes, only one of them is under $200. Retails for $250. If you're lucky, maybe you can get it between $150 and $200. But it's the same stuff you're watching. So now they're saying, well, they've got a target of 2025 that this is going to supposedly kick in and it's all going to be, woohoo, we're going to this now. No. We're probably looking down the road now at about 2030, 2035 if you're lucky. And so I would wait until the boxes come down, make affordable, and then you can, like we did with the old days, kind of experiment with it and see where it goes. But right now there's no 4K programming. Not a zip. Wasn't even anything, to my knowledge, wasn't even anything at CES that they said, oh, this is going to start broadcasting in 4K, and that show is going to be converted to 4K. Nothing. So look at them. They look nice. They play nice. They will hurt your pocketbook in some cases. But until that time comes where there's programming, and I do mean programming, mass programming, then and only then should you go ahead and even think about getting thing. And remember, we had a similar problem back in the HD days. Remember, there was TVs that came out without a tuner. And then there was TVs that came with the tuner, but it wasn't the greatest of tuners. Then the TVs were glass. That was before we even got to an LCD screen and LED and plasma. Well, plasma was great picture, mighty expensive. And of course, in those cold winter nights, it could definitely burn the curtains up and keep you warm at the same time. Those are no longer with us. And there's so many things that have changed up by the time we get to this point that I wouldn't even look at my 4K TV right now, you know, unless you've got Netflix cable or something. But as far as with the ATSC 3.0 stuff, the next gen, I definitely would hold off until things settle out. So still plenty of time to do the things to entice you there. And some other things too. Noticed anything about the pageants? It's pageant season. Miss USA, Wisconsin, I think, won. Sadly, our Miss Texas, Avery Bishop. I love that little girl. And she's from the Philippines. And we also had another Asian one that was part of the Texas team. And we had, for the first time, two Asian women that actually ran in the Miss Texas pageants. And she went off, and I think she was fourth runner-up, got a great scholarship, paid off her law school bills, and Miss Wisconsin took over as Miss USA. Well, she moves on to Miss Universe, and that was tonight. And did you notice it was on TV? No, you probably didn't. Neither did I. And I even sent a note to Avery. I said, hey, when's this on? Because they were talking about, you know, doing the dress rehearsals and everything. What time is this? What channel is it on? And turned out it wasn't even there. I ended up watching it off of YouTube, or at least the, you know, the countdown of who won. And why is that happening? Well, it turns out Fox was carrying the Miss Universe pageant for a long time. You're now seeing them go to streaming. In fact, Roku, if you have Roku TV, which is an app you can also get on your phone and others than just having a Roku, tonight they are having the Miss Universe pageant. Now, you probably missed it by now, but I'm sure they're probably going to have it up there to watch and stream so, you know, you can catch up. And that's the other thing. You're seeing a lot of shows like Dancing with the Stars and others that are going to the streaming services. I can't find The Young and the Restless. I don't watch it anymore, but I noticed that it's not on my schedule for my local station. And like Days of Our Lives and a couple others that moved down to Peacock, I'm beginning to wonder if some of the, because they only had The Bold and the Beautiful in the schedule, but they didn't have The Young and the Restless. I don't know if that was a screw up on Paramount Plus's part or what the deal was. I just happened to notice it. And you're starting to see a lot of shows going down to streaming. They're not going to be on. And now, I guess if you're going to want to watch these kind of things like the pageants and stuff, you're going to have to gravitate to streaming because that's where it's going to be for the Roku. And Fox and them are going to put stupid crap on like they normally do that won't last very long. And by the time you really get into it, hey, this is a cool show, they're canceled. So probably better it is on streaming because Fox will probably just screw it up anyway. So deep breath. And there you go. I love it when a plan comes together. All right. We will come back. Got some more things to talk about as well. And you're listening to Kaleem Cyberline, the world's first Polytech talk show. Cyberline with you. Facebook.com/CyberlineNet, Cyberline USA, and the ever living Tweety. And don't forget cyber-line.com. Listen to the show live 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on Saturdays, or listen to shows from a week ago. And of course, don't forget we got the YouTube channel. We've got cyber-line.com where you can get all of the places to go. Probably one of your favorite podcast places are carrying us. And everything else as well. Social media's arena, Amy, taking care of that for us. And as I mentioned before we went on that little hiatus there, that there's all sorts of things going to streaming. And YouTube is no exception. They've really been doing a lot of stuff. And there's a love-hate relationship, I know, with you guys and gals when it comes to the YouTube TV. Some of you don't know, you know, if you got Hulu Plus and you got YouTube TV, boy, you guys are not happy. Constantly going up, up, up. So YouTube turns out that they're going to be testing, and they're in talks with media companies to feature TV shows and films in a hub of ad-supported channels. They're testing the idea to wait the viewer's interest, according to the Wall Street Journal, and the platform could roll out the hub to more users later this year. Now, if this goes with the plan, they would be entering a market that is now known in the industry as FAST. That's an acronym for Free Ad-Supported Streaming Television. Ooh, looky there. Now, we've already got players in that space. That's Roku, Fox's Tubi. In fact, Fox didn't own Tubi at one time. It was actually a couple of guys that started it, and then they got bought. And, of course, there's also Pluto TV, which is owned by Paramount Global, formerly Viacom CBS. Now, depending on what content they offer and how it sets up the mood of channels, YouTube could end up pulling more attention away from those services. They confirmed to the Journal it's running a test with a small number of users can watch the ad-supported channels. They're looking for new ways to provide viewers a central destination to more easily find, watch, and share content that matters most to them. They've also said they've teamed up with the likes of Lionsgate, A&E Networks, FilmRise for the test. And the media companies, such channels offer a way for them to earn revenue for content that might otherwise languish. They already have ad-supported movies on YouTube, but the hub can also give users a bigger platter of free films and shows to watch. The channels could also operate in similar ways to Pluto TV, and that platform alone has channels dedicated to reruns of certain shows such as CSI, Doctor Who, South Park, and Frasier, along with ones for reality series, live news, and even sports. Now, here's another thing that's about all of this. They're talking about doing all of this. They've already got YouTube TV. And did you know for years, and I mean years, the NFL Sunday Ticket had been on DirecTV, and that was a major draw. It was expensive as hell. But if you're a diehard football fan, you either had the NFL Red Zone or you had the Sunday Ticket. And you had to have DirecTV to have that Sunday ticket. You couldn't get it anywhere else. So everybody else had NFL Red Zone. What was that? Well, you get these things pop up that when they're in the red zone, which is, you know, 20 to goal, then you get to watch them play until they either touchdown or they didn't make it, and then they go show some other game. And it was a lot less the Sunday ticket. It wasn't the same as the Sunday ticket. Most of all, the thing was always jerking around and just having all sorts of issues, and you spent more time on your cable company going, why doesn't my red zone work? Why am I paying for this crap than actually watching anything in a red zone? So they've actually now captured the rights to the Sunday ticket, and they've got a multi-billion dollar deal said to run for at least 7 years, and they have already have the biggest share of TV viewing time among streaming services. They beat Netflix for the third straight month in November with 8.8% of viewing time. So like I said, you know, all the stuff that you're used to watching is going to other places and streaming. And if you're a football fan, you're probably going to be on YouTube. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline. We'll be right back.